Amen. Open your Bibles with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're in a family series. We are studying this outstanding book of 2 Kings. So go to the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings. Go to 2 Kings chapter 6. This family series, I've titled it Royal Succession, Raising Servants of the King. Royal Succession, Raising Servants of the King. This morning's sermon, I've titled Raising Your Children in a Real World. How to raise your children in the real world, not a world of fear. And so this morning, I want us to see a central truth that you're going to see in this fascinating story in 2 Kings chapter 6, that true power does not lie in kings. True power does not lie in that which is seen. It does not lie in government or politics. True power lies in that which is invisible, in our invisible God. That is where true power is. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to read a story starting in verse 8. Verse 8. At this point in Israel's history, Israel is at war with another country named Syria. And so in 2 Kings chapter 6, starting in verse 8, I want you to know that's the background as we enter into this fascinating story of Elisha. 2 Kings 6, verse 8. Once, when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." All right, now pause there for just a moment. So Syria is at war with Israel. The king of Syria has his cabinet around him, his military leaders, and he is saying to them, okay, here's where we're going to attack Israel, and so we're going to put my camp right there. This is going to be the spot where we're going to enter into Israel. Okay? All right. I love what happens next. Verse 9, but the man of God, that being Elisha, but the man of God sent word to the king of Israel. Now understand, Elisha is not in this secret room. He's not in the war cabinet. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there." And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. Okay, so pause here for just a moment. Here's the war room in Syria. The king gathers with his trusted military leaders and he says, all right, here's the spot right there at the edge of Israel. That's where we're going to camp out. That's where we're going to attack. God would send word to Elisha. God would send word to the Elisha ahead of time that this is where the Syrians are going to be. Elisha would then go to the king of Israel and say, hey, I'm giving you a heads up. Here's where the Syrians are going to camp out in order to attack. And the Bible says that this happened more than once or twice. But I want you to know, did you notice that phrase at the end of verse 10? Thus he used to warn him so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. In the Hebrew, it literally means this happened repeatedly. That the king of Syria would say, here's where we're going to be. And one of his military commanders would say, so we're going to camp out right here. And he'd go, shh, no one's going to know this. It's happened over and over. They keep camping out where we're going to be, so no one say a word. When the Bible says the king of Israel would send to there, here's what that means. Whenever Elisha would come to the king of Israel and say, hey, that's where they're going to be. So the king of Israel, he would send a garrison. They would camp out in that spot so that when the Syrians showed up, uh-oh, they're already here. And so they would have to retreat, go back and replan. And this happened repeatedly. All right. Such a great story. Verse 11. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled. In the Hebrew, it's the word which literally means storm. He was in a rage that this kept happening over and over again. And he said to them, "Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?" In other words, we've got a mole in this room. There is a traitor among us. In the Hebrew, the word literally means someone is leaning towards Israel. And I want to know who it is. Verse 12. And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha." Elisha, Elisha, Elisha. Anyone? Brady Bunch. Elisha, Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. King, it's not one of us. Don't kill any of us. This is the man of God. This is Elisha, the prophet in Israel, who is doing this. Here's the king's answer. Verse 13, and he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him." It was told him, "Behold, he is in Dothan." So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we can't do this without you. Lord, we need you. We need your salvation. Father, as Elisha and his servants seeing the enemies of God surrounding the city, I pray that their first thought was, we can't do this without you. And so, Lord, we need you. We pray, Father, that you would penetrate our hearts with the truth of Scripture. Lord, I pray that we would see that true power does not belong in our bank accounts. It does not belong to me. It does not belong to anything any of us can own. It does not belong in anything that can be seen. No king, no president, no government, no power. But Lord, true power belongs to our God. And so, Lord, I pray that someone today would experience salvation from the one true God. Lord, I pray that we would understand there is still an enemy, a roaring lion out there seeking whom he may devour. And Lord, I pray that today someone would turn to the one true God and begin a lifetime, a journey of following you. Lord, add to us and call out from us. And we're going to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Okay, so here's where you got to start in the story. You've got to start at the fact that God is telling to Elisha things that Elisha can't see and doesn't know in order to protect God's chosen people. And I want you to know God still continues to do that today. And so here's the point I want you to hear. Understand that you have a God who sees what you do not see and tells you things that you do not know. Understand that you have a God who sees what you cannot see and tells you things that there's no way you could possibly know. Folks, our young families, parents, we want to raise our kids and we want to make good decisions. We want to have wisdom. We want to have insight. We want to have understanding. Well, we need a God who sees things that we cannot see and who can tell us things that we do not know. And that is the God that we serve. True power does not belong in our ability to be able to see things ahead of time. We can read all the papers, we can read all the magazines, we can keep up with social media, we can try to do everything we can to stay ahead of technology, stay ahead of the game, see where the traps are for our kids, but we need the God who sees what we cannot see and who tells us things we do not know. And that's what's happening right here. The king of Syria is so frustrated by this. How are they knowing where we're going to be? And friends, please know God wants to do that in your life. So what's the key to that? There is a three-word phrase in verse 9 that is the key to what's happening. And the three-word phrase is going to be on the screen. Please make note. God sent word. Look at it again in verse 9. But the man of God sent word. But the man of God sent word. It is God who is sending the word through his man Elisha in order to take that to the king of Israel. But this is God who is sending word. And he does the same thing today. How does he do it? Right here. Please know God has sent word. If you want to know what's lying ahead, if you want to have wisdom and insight and understanding, Lord, I wish we knew where our kids should be in school. I wish we knew what events were okay for them to go to. I wish I knew what friends. I wish I knew whenever this trip was being planned. I wish I knew what was going to happen. And please know that if you will devote yourself to reading God's word, God will give you wisdom, insight, and understanding in order to guide your children. Now, friends, does that mean that your kids are never going to be in a situation where they could be hurt? No. Those things happen. Friends, I want you to know this is not to put in you a spirit of fear. As parents, grandparents, we're not to live with a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. This is not to say that every time an event comes up or something that your kids are invited to, that if there's that bad digestion that's happening to you and you think, oh no, you can't go, it'll be safer for you just to stay at home. Friends, here's where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be in the will of God. We are not supposed to just stay at home. I know that so many times for our young parents, boy, it'd be a whole lot easier if we just all stayed at home. Did you know that today, and then tomorrow, and then on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, did you know that every single day, 10,000 children end up in an emergency room somewhere in the United States, 10,000 children every day from an accident that happened at home? And we say, well, it'd be a whole lot safer if we just kept them at home. I don't know. It's like the man who found out that most accidents happen within 5 miles of home, so he moved. Okay, what good is that going to do? Friends, we must entrust ourselves to the Lord. And so there's going to be an opportunity for your kids to go to a kids' camp this summer, to go to Vacation Bible School, to go to Falls Creek. Oh, it'd be a whole lot safer if they just stayed at home. Friends, here's where we want our children. We want our children to be in the will of God. And so you pray for wisdom, insight, and understanding. You go to the Word of God because God has sent word, and he also sends word through prayer. Folks, the two things, we want wisdom and insight and understanding in raising our children, but the two very things in which God sends word, we neglect. We neglect reading the Word of God, and we neglect talking with him. And in talking with him, please remember that listening to him is even more important than talking to him. It was a year ago that I was studying in the Bible and found out that the most repeated phrase in the Bible, the most repeated verse in the Bible, it's in there over 70 times. Listen to the most repeated phrase in the Bible. And the Lord said to Moses. Not Moses said to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses. And he needed Moses to be listening. God sees things that we cannot see. He tells us things that we cannot know. But I want you to picture the king of Israel sitting there in his throne room, and all of a sudden a messenger comes in. And the messenger says, I have a message from the man of God, Elisha. And the king says, I wish I had time, but can you believe everything I've got going today? I mean, I've got to go. You know that I've got a country to frame for the, you know, Princess Bride. I've got all these things I've got to do. I've got a reception to plan. I've got all this to do. I can't possibly take that message right now. The messenger comes back the next day. I really think you ought to read this message. Boy, I just don't have time. Really, give me a few days. All of a sudden, they get attacked. And king of Israel, God, why didn't you give me a heads up on this? I tried. I gave you my word. I've sent you my word. I've told you to read my message. Folks, let's not neglect the word of God, talking and listening to him. Because God will, he'll show you things you cannot see and tell you things you didn't know. Let's keep going. The story just gets better and better. So join me again in verse 14. So the king of Syria sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now pause there for a moment. Isn't it, I love this story, because isn't it interesting that God continually gave Elisha a heads up to give to the king of Israel when the Syrians were going to plan an attack. And yet all of a sudden now, the Syrians have surrounded the city of Dothan, and God didn't give Elisha a heads up. Family, here's what I want you to hear. There are times when things are going to surprise you in life. We will pray for wisdom, insight, and understanding. We do have a God who sees things we cannot see and who knows things that we do not know. But there are going to be times in your life when you will be surprised by the next phone call, when you wake up to news. But I want you to know the same God who at times gives us wisdom, insight, and understanding is the same God who's going to be right there to help you through that. And I want you to see that. Here we go. Verse 15. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master. What a great word is alas. When I got here to this church and started working with Don Hardy, I found out how beautiful a thing it is, a well-placed alas. It is a great thing. Alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Here's what Elisha did. He pointed his servant to that which could not be seen. Point number two, if you want to raise your children in the real world. Now, everyone, don't miss that. Again, the title of the sermon, Raising Your Children in the Real World and Not a World of Fear. And again, the central truth to this whole passage is true power does not lie in that which is seen. True power lies in that which is not seen. And so whenever the servant walks out and it's bright and early in the morning. Can you see him walk out? He looks up and wow, the entire city is circled by Syrian horses and chariots and a great army. He rubs his eyes. This isn't good. This is not good at all. Alas, my master, what shall we do? And so Elisha walks out. Do you get any sense at all that Elisha is scared, that he's perturbed, that he's in fear? But he said, verse 16, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. I can picture the servant looking up at Elisha. Okay, I see the two of us. I'm not exactly for sure what you're referring to. Elisha was pointing him to that which could not be seen. I want you to know, here's the answer Elisha could have given. Okay, will servant understand that you and I are right here and they're out there, they're circling the city. So there is some acreage between us and them. So it's going to take them a little bit to get here. And I mean, there are other people in the city, so they're going to have to work their way past them. And then here's a pair of running shoes because you're younger than me, so really all you got to do is outrun me. So let's just go off of that. That's appealing to reason. That's appealing to things which are seen. What if he said to his servant, and you remember there's a river that they have to cross, so it's going to be a little while before they get here. Parents, whenever our kids get afraid, oftentimes we point to, oh, remember, there are locks on all the doors. We have an alarm on the house. We live in a safe neighborhood. Your mom and your dad, we're in the bedroom. We're just across the hall here. We're just down a little ways from you. We point to things which our kids can see, thinking that that will help them not to be afraid. That's not what Scripture tells us to do. Point your children to that which is unseen. There are more of those who are with us than there are those who with them. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Point them to that which is not seen. And if in any way you think, okay, well, that's not the real world, folks, it is the real world. Listen to what happens next. He said, do not be afraid. Verse 16, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That was the real world. It wasn't just Syrian armies that were surrounding the city. But in the real world, when the servant's eyes were opened, he saw the city was completely encircled by God's spiritual forces. And I want you to know, God's spiritual forces were really there. He saw them. Folks, point your children to that which is not seen. Did you know that every single day your children are taught that there is reality in that which is not seen, regardless of what school they go to? Let's use this pulpit right here as an example. This pulpit, it sounds like it's made of a metal. Can everyone agree on that? I don't think this is plastic. It sounds like metal. This pulpit is made of metal. This is a material object, which means it is made of matter, right? And so we could all agree it's made of metal. And someone might say, well, yes, but in reality, it's really made up of atoms. Show me. Well, you can't see them. But I mean, all matter is made up of atoms. As a matter of fact, within an atom, there's even subatomic particles called electrons, neutrons, and protons that are even smaller than the atom. Well, show me those. Well, again, you can't see them. You're telling me even the most high-powered microscopes that we have today can't see that everything that is matter is made up of things which are invisible to us. Yeah, that's right. So is that the real world? Yes, it is. the real world, in the real world, everything is made up of that which can't be seen. Did you know that the Bible told us that 2,000 years ago? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, by faith we understand that God made everything and that all things that are seen were made by that which is not visible. The world was not made by rocks that were already here or gases. They were made by an invisible God. Point your children to that God, that which is invisible. How do we keep our kids from falling into temptation? Well, let me show you again Hebrews chapter 11. Let's see what Moses did. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. How in the world did he do that? He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. What reward? A spiritual reward. Was it a reward that he could hold in his hands that was a visible, physical reward? No, he was looking to the reward. What Paul is talking about as the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me at that day. That's what he was looking to. You tell your kids, listen, don't succumb to the temptations of sin. You keep looking ahead to the reward that God has for you. Well, can I hold it right now? No, but I'm telling you, that's in the real world. Keep going in that same passage of Scripture. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so our kids can be so afraid, oh, I don't want to do this because someone will get mad at me. I'm afraid this friend will get mad at me. If I don't go to their party, they'll get mad at me. You point them to that, to the one who is invisible. God will take care of you. And boy, I want you to see that in the very statement. Look again at verse 16. Do not be afraid. Parents, let me give you some quick sub-points. How to raise your children without fear. First of all, parents, you've got to model for your children a Jesus response. Elisha said, do not be afraid. Who does that sound like? Sounds just like Jesus. He comes walking on the water out to the disciples who are in the boat, and waves are crashing up against the boat, and he gets in the boat with them. He says, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. At the transfiguration, Peter, James, and John see Jesus transfigured before them, and the Bible says, and they fell over terrified, and Jesus says to them, get up. It is I, don't be afraid. Model for your kids a Jesus response. That's what they need to see. Second of all, help them understand the reality of the situation. And that's what Elisha does. First of all, he says, do not be afraid. And then he says, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Here's what he said to them. God is right here. He cares for you, and he is able. Those who are with us, God is right here. Those who are with us, God cares about you, are more than those who are with them. Our God is able. God is right here. God cares for you, and God is able. That is the reality of the situation. And then third subpoint underneath that, parents, really pray a real prayer to really see what is real. And where do we get that? Again, then Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." You pray for your kids and grandkids. Lord, I pray that you would open my children's eyes to see that no matter where they are, you're right there with them. Open their eyes and listen, no matter how old your child is, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, if they're not walking with the Lord, Father, I pray that you would open my son's eyes. I pray that you would open my daughter's eyes, my grandson, my granddaughter, my nieces, my nephews. Lord, open their eyes that they would really see you are real. And then here's the last thing. I love how this story ends. And so the Syrians, sure enough, they came down, verse 18, against him. So here we go. The Syrians are attacking. Elisha, again, prayed to the Lord. You see the importance of that. And said, please strike this people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way and this is not the city. Follow me and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he led them to Samaria. Did you know that's where the king of Israel was hanging out? Elisha is going to lead the Syrian army who has been blinded. Now, in the Hebrew, the word would not be what we would say physical blindness, like they can't completely see anything, but they're in some type of brightness to where they're just not seeing clearly. Elisha takes them to Samaria. Verse 21, and here they are in the midst of Samaria. Verse 21, as soon as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down? He answered, you shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So he prepared for them a great feast. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. And the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel. Here's the last thing I want you to hear. The real world is a world of reconciliation, not retribution. Boy, I want you to, did you hear the end of that story? God allows Elisha to walk the army of Syria, the enemy, right into Samaria, right into the presence of the king of Israel. And did you not hear how excited the king of Israel is? Shall I strike him down? Shall I strike him down? Just give me the word and we'll kill them all. No. A, these are prisoners of war. B, they're not even your prisoners. God did this. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to go after reconciliation, not retribution. I want you to feed them. I want you to give them something to drink. And then I want you to send them back to where they came. Folks, we live in a world right now that says you need to be against whoever's not like you. We need to have a mindset of conflict, of fight against anyone who was born different places, different skin color. We need to be in conflict with anyone. We need to be afraid of this group of people thinking that they're going to overtake the United States. And we need to be afraid of this group if they're going to overtake. And we need to be afraid of everyone. And we have to be on our alert, be ready to fight. God in his real world has called us to reconciliation, not retribution. God gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is what God is calling us to. We get to be the ministers of reconciliation. And there is a good fight to be fought, but it is fighting for the souls of all people. As Daniel said this morning, we all are image bearers of the God who created us. He has called us to reconciliation, not retribution. God has come to restore. And we get to be a part of that. I love how it ends. And the Syrians, did not come again on raids into the land of Israel. Why don't we take God's game plan? He knows things that we don't know. He sees things that we cannot see. The real world is God's spiritual forces at work. It is God at work among us. God, I want to be a part of your plan. Help me to see with eyes of faith. Let me point my children to that which is unseen, knowing that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Would you bow your heads with me? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, in this time of invitation, I pray that hearts are turning to you. Lord, I'm so convicted of neglecting the word of God, of neglecting prayer. Lord, I pray for parents and grandparents that, Lord, we would be a people of the word. You will give us wisdom, insight, and understanding, Father, if we'll just turn to you and trust you. But so many times, Lord, we put our faith in that which is seen. And we need to put our faith in that which is unseen. Lord, I pray for today that someone would understand that there is a God who loves them, who cares for them, and he is able to save. Lord, I pray that hearts would turn to you, that they would consider the reproach of Christ greater than all the wealth of the world. Lord, I give my life to you. I'll turn from anything the world offers, and I trust you to save me. Father, I pray for recommitted hearts. I pray that you would add to us and call out from us. And we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me?